Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Economic fortunes, except for some. Some may not have such a bright future. I'll explain. Here it is as we broadcast from the Bunker Eye studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It's not a bright, well, it's a sunny, well, have you ever seen it? Do you know the difference between a bright morning and a regular morning? Well, this is pretty much a regular morning, even though we've had all this rain over the past week. I think we're expecting more today, possibly thunder showers, along with the mugginess to continue. I guess all the rain really is going to move out of here, and the mugginess is going to break by Sunday. So potentially, only half the weekend is going to suck. Well, I mean, if you are a person that likes the rain or has a job or a hobby that has a lot to do with the rain, I don't know what, but worm collecting. I guess, you know, like Dr. Totopoulos from the 90s Godzilla movie. Yes, they couldn't pronounce his name, by the way. Totopoulos. No, Totopoulos. Good old Greek name. But in any case, and might I add that that as a standalone monster movie, was it 98? That Godzilla movie was okay. It was not Godzilla, and it should not have been called a Godzilla movie. As a Godzilla movie, it was terrible. As a standalone monster movie, it wasn't bad. It was okay. It was monster, you know, as giant monster movies go. I mean, it was okay. And it would have been better if they would have tried to make it a little bit more, you know, like the original Godzilla movies were really kind of cheesy, which is what makes them great. They would have been better off making that movie a little bit cheesy. They tried to go way too damn serious with it and then call it Godzilla. And it just did. Godzilla, up until recently, Godzilla was pretty, you know, most of it was pretty cheesy or campy stuff. They tried to get serious with, you know, like Godzilla 2000 and Godzilla Final Wars. Godzilla got a little bit bigger, meaner, badder, and more serious. And then, of course, you get the new American Godzilla. That was it, 3 years ago now? 14, maybe 15? And then, of course, you get the Shin Godzilla of the Toho company did their own Japanese version. I got to see that. You know, it was on YouTube. I saw the whole damn thing. It was quite different from the American Godzilla. And I got to tell you, I you know, when I first saw that and saw how that Godzilla was going to look, I was kind of taken aback. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it. But then I saw the Shin Godzilla movie. I saw the whole movie. I got to tell you, I was amazed. Because the Japanese who invented Gojira Godzilla took it in a totally different direction. And as far as I'm concerned, Toho made a huge mistake not generally releasing that in the Western-speaking, English-speaking world. It was not really generally released here. I think there were a few theaters that had it for a few days here, but I think they would have made a killing off of that movie. It was good. And as far as the acting was concerned, Japanese actors are not known for their Oscar-winning performances. But that was some of the best Japanese Asian acting I've ever seen. Was in that movie. The direction, the filmography. Now I don't normally talk about this kind of stuff when it comes to movies. I just want to be entertained. But the filmography was spot on. Yeah, there were some campy, kind of cheesy moments early on when the Godzilla monster was transforming into the final upright thing. And the whole there was no real thought process. It wasn't as if this was a thinking Godzilla. This was just a rote, natural response type of thing. Type of creature. That was it. It had no nefarious agenda. Now, I don't even know what the agenda was, really. We didn't find out what the agenda was or where it was really going. And they left the door open for a sequel. I'm not kidding. There are all kinds of people on both sides of the Atlantic right now that were taking the film apart, and will they have a sequel? They left the door open for a sequel on the Shin Godzilla. And I hope they do make one, because that was good. That was good. But the latest American version of Godzilla was also fantastic. And they did Godzilla proud. I know there are people that complain they thought Godzilla was like a big fat thing and he was nothing more than a giant, professional wrestler type of body. I see where I get where they were going with that, where they might have been a little bit disappointed. But Godzilla was never a muscular. The only time Godzilla was muscular was in the 98 version. That's the only time. Godzilla is never a muscular monster. So to get on the creators and the designers of the costume or the monster himself as being a little bit heavyweight, I think that was off base. He fit, but I got to tell you that the face, man, you want a perfect looking that I'm not taking any shit. Kind of face is what they gave him. The mouth was kind of small, though. I don't know what did they model them. Does anybody know what they modeled the latest Godzilla's mouth? Because it was kind of small for him. But in any case, there's a new Godzilla coming out. And everybody's excited because we've seen we've seen some of the previews and it looks like it could. Now I have purposely not watched all these programs that try to tell you exactly who's going to be in it, but there's the last scene in the King Kong movie, and basically it's got people excited. King Ghidorah. That's how we pronounce it. But if you listen to the Japanese, it's Ghidorah, King Ghidorah. Ghidorah is going to be in, and it looks like Ghidorah is huge. I mean, Zilla's is big enough, but it looks like Ghidorah is going to be huge. And it looks like there's also going to be possibly Rodan and Mothra. So this is supposed to set the stage for an eventual 2020 or 2021 Godzilla versus King Kong. Now I'm not a huge King Kong fan, but I like the giant ape. And the last time they did a, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong, they couldn't come out with a winner. Obviously, they couldn't. I don't know how they're gonna do how they're gonna, you know, because Godzilla always wins. But so does King Kong. So who's gonna win this? Not sure. I'm gonna really like the direction that takes, but I don't. There are a bunch of people speculating that the Pacific Rim, you know, the monsters of, well, I got to see the latest Pacific Rim. I know the first time it looked like they had put the kibosh on ever being attacked again, and they closed the door, but they were able to make a sequel out of it. But I suppose maybe they left the door open for a third movie with Pacific Rim, but you kind of watched the end of the first one and thought that was it, that there was no way they were going to make a sequel out of that one, but they did. And I know some people are tuning in and thinking, what the hell is he talking about Godzilla and Pacific Rim for? Because it's Friday. That's why. You know, we get to have a little bit of fun on Friday. We talk about things that are a little bit lighter, a little bit funner. I still got all the heavyweight stuff here. Don't worry, I got plenty of it. Like the numbers, the GDP numbers. Folks, this, you know, I'm reading this stuff this morning on these GDP numbers, right? Now, the numbers came out at 8:30. So everybody's, you know, running around because they were leading up to this big thing. They were building it. The lamestream media was trying to build it up, saying, oh, it's going to be 5.2%. Could it be 5.2%? And then it was 4.1%. Oh, it just reached expectations. I'm serious, folks. The way these people are portraying this number is like, oh, no big deal. It's just expectations. And they're trying to, folks, they're trying to downplay it. You know, Barack Obama had a quarter where, you know, it jumped. GDP was like 4.6%, one quarter. And then the following quarter, it was 0.5%. So it wasn't a real number. And so they're asking the question, well, you know, we don't know yet because the next quarter could be just like the other one under Obama when it was 4.6 and the next month it was 0.5. Well, see, they're trying to ignore all the previous months leading up to this that have been well north of 2.5%, giving an annual GDP of well over 2%, possibly very close to 3%. And the way things are going this year, we could have a whole annual GDP for 2018 of 4%. Now, Obama never even came close to that. Now, folks, you got to understand, they know this. The interesting thing is that you've got the rank and file out there, just the regular people. I've noticed this on Twitter. It's an amazing thing. Now you want to talk about people just, you know, fake news and bots and stuff like that. Now, I'm not calling any of these leftists out there in the social media realm bots. They're not bots. Now, I'll give them that. They're real people. But let me tell you what these real people are like. They are purposefully either twisting or ignoring the facts that are on the ground about everything as it pertains to Trump. I mean, when you talk, well, Trump did this or possibly did this. Wait, you're upset by that? Yeah, we're damn upset. Well, why weren't you upset when Bill Clinton did it? Or when Hillary Clinton did that? Or when Barack Obama did that? You weren't upset then. I have come to the conclusion of what this is. Now understand, yes, it has a lot to do with these people just wanting to be socialist. Now, And wanting to get, a lot of these people are millennials, and they just simply just want to get their way. It doesn't matter anymore. They just want to get their, because they're spoiled children. They're used to always getting their way. And I met some woman yesterday who was asking me, she said, well, you look awfully young for your age. I said, thank you. And she's like, well, what's your lifestyle? Now, I've never had anybody ask me that before. What's my lifestyle? Yeah, she's like, well, how did you grow up? Because usually, kids grow up to be great adults or bad adults, and they carry themselves based on what their child was like. And I said, well, she goes, and she's looking at it. I said, well, I had a fun childhood. She says, let me guess. Are you or were you in the military? I said, I'm a military brat, Air Force, if that's what you mean. She goes, I knew it. Just something about military kids. I'm like, okay. But she was doting on it. She was very positive about it. Just something about military kids that I loved. And she asked me, she says, did you always get what you wanted? I looked at her and I laughed. I said, no, I was a military brat. Are you kidding? My parents couldn't, militarily speaking, my parents couldn't afford to give me everything I wanted, even if they wanted to do that. And which they weren't going to do it anyway, because my parents grew up in a generation where you didn't spoil the kids that way. But I didn't want for anything. I didn't have, I had a wonderful childhood, had a lot of stuff that, maybe I was spoiled a little bit by my parents. I didn't get everything I wanted. But, and there were some things that I actually had to get a job for, a paper route or mow lawns or something and pay for myself. That taught me a lot. It taught me to appreciate the stuff that I was getting for free, basically. By contrast, millennials today, they've had everything handed to them on a silver platter. There is no way in hell, if we were to fast forward my childhood today, and my parents were still the same the way they raised me back then, there'd be no way in hell my parents would be buying me every year or every other year the latest smartphone at the age of 12 or 13. No freaking way. And yet I'm watching these kids walk down, these elementary and middle schoolers going to school. I mean, that's bad enough. They're going to school with these smartphones that are bigger, badder, more expensive than I have. And I'm the adult. Well, Rod, you're spending your own money. Well, the parents are spending the money. It's not like a 10-year-old the vast majority of 10-year-olds are not out there, with a lemonade stand or mowing lawns. And unfortunately, those that do get that way and do go out there and try to have a lemonade stand or mow a lawn or two, they have another millennial parent call the cops on them because they don't have a permit. We've seen that happen a number of times across the country, by the way. This is not a one-off thing. Well, they don't have a permit. You never had to have a permit before. There was, last summer, I remember this highly, here in New England, I'm not going to name the state because I can't really remember the state it was in. I think it was either Rhode Island or Connecticut. There were kids, neighborhood kids, that were trying to have a puppet show, and they were actually charging admission to the puppet show. Do you know they couldn't get the puppet show off the ground because some millennial parent asked if they had, did they need a permit? She called the local town hall, whatever it was, and said, "Well, because there's going to be parking problems, because he was afraid people were going to come." Yeah. Yeah, parents were going to drive their kids to this from all over the city or whatever, or town or whatever, or county, and park in their street. No, it was going to be kids on bikes. But they were charging admission. It was like $1.50 or something to get into this. But the cops showed up with a city regulator and kept them from putting on the show because they didn't have the proper entertainment permit. So, yeah, this is why these kids today have to have everything handed to them, because they can't go out and earn it themselves before they're able to get a working papers at 15 or 16 and go work in the mall. So parents dote on their kids and they spoil them to death, and the kids don't even care. I mean, so no, I was not spoiled, and I did not get whatever I wanted. I was not lacking for anything, however. I wasn't deprived of anything. I just didn't get everything I wanted. But by today's standards, that's child abuse. I mean, your kid wants A, B, C, and D, so you got to give them A, B, C, and D. You just can't give them A and B. Oh, no. That's child abuse, especially if the neighbor's kid gets C and D. That's child abuse. And I'm only being half facetious, folks. You know that's true. You know it's truthful. So this is the whole mantra behind these people today. And don't forget, millennials are now 37, 38 years old. They're not young anymore. You know, we're looking at people starting at being born, what, in 80, 1980? They're not children. Well, I mean, mentally they still are children, but physically and chronologically they're not children, and they're having children. And those children are coming of age. You know, they're starting to get into adolescence and their teen years. I mean, if you're 38, you probably have a kid that's a teenager by now. It's probably, 12, 13, 14 years old. So, but these are the people that are used to getting everything that they wanted. And they got you. Oh, sure, they had George W. Bush. They didn't really want him, but they were too young to really do anything about him. And then they got Obama. Yeah. And then in spite of how bad Obama was his first term, he got reelected. Quite handedly so, he got reelected. And they thought, this is the way it's got to be. This is what we always get our way. And then they did not get Hillary Clinton. It was just about getting their way. This is not, folks, this is not about what they think is right or wrong. And I noticed this week. I really put my finger on this. This is not about right or wrong to them. Because 150% of everything that they blame or claim that Donald Trump is guilty of, whether there's evidence of it or not, was done by, in spades, by Hillary Clinton and or Barack Obama and or Bill Clinton. They did it more, they did it worse, and it was proven that they did it. Bill Clinton was even impeached because of certain things that they're now accusing Trump of which most of it there is no evidence. So this isn't about right or wrong to them. It isn't. Don't fall into that trap. Because once you ask them, oh, well, you don't like Trump doing this? No. Well, what about when Barack did this or when Hillary did the same thing? They will not answer you. They'll move on to another thing, another topic, another anti-Trump subject. This simply means that they do not care about the facts. It isn't about the facts after all. This is all completely and totally about them getting their way. Simply because they're spoiled little brats. That's it.
You're listening to The Rod Echols Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Hi, Gordon. What you been up to?
Big thanks, Fred. I'm a full-time student at bartending college.
Wow! I never had time for a formal education.
Well, I decided to make time, but it's not easy. Bartending college is a 4-week course.
Gee, how far along are you?
Well, let's see. This is Tuesday, the third week. Hey, I'm a junior, and I'm late for a daiquiri lecture. Why don't you join me?
Why not?
Bartending College.
You've already spent enough time on the other side of the bar to qualify for enrollment.
Bartending College.
We'll teach you everything you need to know. You'll get a starter set of bartender's jokes like...
So I says to the guy, you can stay, but the cow's gotta go.
Bartending College.
You'll learn how to roll drunks, water the liquor, and skim the cash register. And remember, as the bartender, you drink for free.
Last call
for integrity.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of shit tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Are you trying to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
this Tide Pod stuff. You know, the younger generation, millennials and, mostly millennials, but Gen Z, they've done some stupid challenges in the past. I mean, we got this Tide, eating Tide Pod. I don't get what that challenge is. I really don't. And they've had the, what was the fire challenge? Where some of them really burned themselves to death, and a couple of them even died. And there have been a number of other really dumb, not the ice bucket challenge. That was actually turned out to be something good for charity, but various charities. But they've done a number of, because it's the YouTube, the video age. I got a story here about where is people wanting to be famous. Where was that in the paper pile? I don't know. Any case, there is this whole new phenomena that it doesn't even matter about the money anymore. It's just that being famous is what's, you know, being a considered to be a celebrity is all important. I try not to get too political on Instagram because it's about pictures, but every once in a while you get somebody that'll post a picture that is just absolutely worthless, very political, on the wrong side. And, sometimes I'll comment on them. And I commented on what it was. I don't even remember what the picture was, but I commented on it, and I got a reply from somebody else, not the photographer who posted it, but from somebody else who claimed that my opinion was irrelevant because I didn't have at least 100 followers. Like, well, I just started Instagram. I just started taking it seriously. But you don't have any following, so your opinion doesn't count. And so I'm like, okay, well, how many people follow you? So I went and looked at it. He had 230. So I don't know what the number is of followers that you have to have in order for your opinion to be worthy. But this that puts the finger right on it. These people only care about being so-called famous, and you're only famous or a celebrity based on the number of people that follow you. And they don't call them celebrities anymore. They've got a new term. They're called influencers. Yes. And did you know that you could be a small influencer if you have more than 5,000 followers? Now, of course, you've got the big influencers who can, you know, command all kinds of money just to say hi for your company, you know, because they have a million or more followers. But then you have even, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of followers. But there are quite a few people that make a good part-time income, some of them full-time, by having as few as 25 to 50,000 followers. But you can still be an influencer if you have 5, 10, or 15,000 followers. I'm like, really? Is that all it takes? Is that all it takes to be a celebrity, to be famous, is to be an influencer? Because that's all that counts to these kids. You know, what's your following, man? Who cares? Are you just doing stuff to try to get followers? Well, yeah, most of them are just doing stuff to try to get followers. That's it. It's this follower mentality. It doesn't even matter, you know, if they actually like you or not. Oh, wow, I can't miss out. You know, they've got 50,000 followers. They've got to be cool. So I've got to follow them too. And then, you know, it's old, you know, my friends are following them, so I got to follow them. That's how all this viral stuff works. It isn't because people actually like it. They don't even remember it. Once they post it or repost it or share it, they don't even remember what they did. Just everybody else is doing it, so they got to do it. See, it's a new kind of peer pressure. What, you didn't see this? I get that all the time. You didn't see that video? No, I didn't see it. You want to see it? Not really interested. I've heard about it, but if it's been out there for 6 months and I've heard about it, you know, 3 dozen times, if I wanted to see it, I would have by now. But I'm I am of the old school, and I don't fall into the whole, you know, peer pressure type of thing. Ask any of my high school classmates, especially my best friend in high school. He'll tell you I was a pain in the ass because I would not bend to any kind of peer pressure, not even from my best friend. I mean, I look back at it now and just tell you how hard it was for Danny sometimes. That was his name, Danny. Love the guy to death. Great, great friend, would give you the shirt off his back. You know, he was a football player and he was a band geek. I don't know how that coincides with one another, but, you know, he played the trumpet in band. He wasn't bad. He wasn't that bad. But even there are times, if I just didn't, playing football, just, you know, pick up football games. Hey, you want to play football? Who's playing? You know, old name, awesome name. No, I don't want to play. Come on, Rod, you got to play. No. Come on, Elrod, you got to play. And he'd be after me for an hour. Sometimes I'd give in, but most of the time I wouldn't. We'd just go off and do something else. But I don't know how I made his life so miserable, but we stayed best friends for, you know, through high school. And, of course, life separates you. You know, you grow up and you go your own ways. Unfortunately, he's still in New York, and I'm not. So it makes it a little difficult to remain best friends at such a great distance like that. But and he's had some tragedy in his life too, unfortunately. I feel bad because I wasn't there. I wasn't there when he lost his only son to cancer. It was devastating for him. Now here's a guy that in high school, while we were growing up, always said that he'd get married and have six sons. He wanted six kids, and he wanted them all to be boys. And he had three kids because his wife was, nah, I'm not having six. But they had three kids, two girls, and the oldest was a boy. And the boy succumbed to childhood cancer. And it completely, the last time I saw him, he was not the same happy Danny that I once knew. The loss of his son and Andrew devastated him like you would not believe. He's not depressed. And he doesn't walk around drinking and getting into trouble and taking drugs. But he's not the same. I don't know how a parent really does survive losing their child that way. I don't. And that is something that it's not a regret that I have, but it is close to a regret that I was not able to be there for him at that particular point in time. I mean, I know he had his wife and his family and other friends, but I was his high school soulmate. Well, I mean, we were tight. And I could not be there in an hour of his greatest need. And I will always be sorry for that. But I know life prevents us from doing things that we want to all the time. And that's things that we have to accept. And this is a life lesson for younger generations. There are things that you're going to have to accept. You can't try to make things different simply because you want it to be different. And be careful if you want something to be different. I mean, honestly, we just hit 4.1 GDP, and we're on a roll, on a crack, if you will. We're cracking on, as the British would say, to a GDP at the end of the year. But as we look back, you know, all four quarters and adding it all up and averaging it out to being well over 3%. Which means there are a lot of people that are going to get jobs, including you wonderful millennials and Gen Zers who are just starting to graduate college or who will be starting to graduate college very shortly. You're going to have jobs available to you. You know, decent paying ones. Not McDonald's or working at Abercrombie and Fitch in the mall. Now, you don't want Trump as your president. But let me ask you something. Do you want the economy that Obama had? That the economy that Obama gave you. You know, the economy that birthed. Now imagine this, folks. You have a bunch of wonderful mamby-pamby leftist children out there. Well, they're not children, but kids. You know, I speak of kids, you know, not chronologically, chronological age speaking, but just their mentality. You have all these wonderful kids out there. They graduate with all this college debt by going to these public indoctrination centers we call institutes of higher learning called colleges and universities. And they spend a ton of money. They get indebted up to their ears. You know, some of them end up with more college debt than they will ever spend in a house. And they're complaining that they can't find jobs because the economy sucks so bad there are no jobs available. Let alone, you know, finding a job in their preferred profession of learning. Besides, many of them have found out that their degrees are absolutely useless. I always love that part. They get to the point, oh, my degree is useless. Yeah, it is. But they didn't have any jobs. That was under Obama. That we got Occupy Wall Street under Obama. Isn't this amazing? Obama creates the atmosphere for a bad economy. The kids can't find jobs. And they don't blame him. And now when they have all these opportunities again, a plethora of them, they don't give the credit to Donald Trump. In fact, they want to get rid of Donald Trump because they say, well, it's not Trump's economy. Look, everybody's acknowledging the reason why we have this economy the way we have it today. Even many on the left, even though some of them won't publicly admit it, they have to admit it. Yeah, the tax package, tax cuts, had a lot to do with it. Deregulation has a lot to do with it. Getting our trade in order has a lot to do with it and is going to have more to do with it as the next couple of years grind on, according to the left. As trade becomes more fair between us and our trading partners, well, folks, you know, this whole tariff stuff, can I just interject something here? What I find interesting is that a lot of people who think that Trump is starting a tariff or a trade war do not know or understand that Trump isn't instituting new tariffs. And he's not doing it on stuff that has nothing to do with the trade between the two countries. He's trying to match what a lot of these countries are charging the United States. The United States may not have tariffs or very small tariffs on some of these goods and services coming into this country from a trading partner. But when it goes the other way, including Canada, they have some massive tariffs on us. And we don't have massive tariffs on them. So all Trump is doing is saying, you know, look, what's fair is fair. You're dumping your product or service in our country, killing our job base, stealing our jobs. And then when we try to come back and sell you stuff, you slap massive tariffs on us, further cutting us down, further dipping your hand in the American piggy bank and taking more of our money. And Trump just basically said, no more. You say you want fair trade, you know, the whole transatlantic free trade, whatever, or all that kind of stuff that Obama wanted. That was just a real another giveaway of the American piggy bank. Trump just said, fine, live up to it. You want fair. Now understand, Trump says he wants real free trade across. He doesn't want tariffs at all anywhere. Now, how about that? Have a free competing world, real world. Do you realize, folks, if you want to get to this Star Trek one world government? Now, I'm not saying this is what Trump wants because he doesn't, but if you want a one world Star Trek kind of government, you know what you got to get rid of? One of the issues that you're going to have to get rid of is nation barriers or borders. You know, people say we shouldn't have borders. Well, one of the ways of erasing a border, and this is not necessarily a bad way to erase a border, but if one way to erase a border is not having tariffs. You have complete, real free trade globally. you leftists should be all over that. No taxes or tariffs, import or export duties whatsoever anywhere. Trump advocates for that. Well, partly because he believes that American ingenuity, American know-how, and the American worker will kill it around the world if we actually got to that point. He firmly believes that. We're the best. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that believes in his country and loves the American people. He really thinks that we are so damn good that we could rule the world economically if there were no trade barriers anywhere. And that's what he wants. And you on the left are against that? How can you possibly say that you don't want international borders, but then you don't want to lower or stop all the import-export duties and tariffs and taxes? This is the left, folks. They don't make any sense because they don't stop. Literally, they do not think about things. They hear something from somebody that they believe in or like or has a huge following, and then they just run with it. They don't stop to investigate what if that person says is true or makes any sense. Trump's a cad because he had an affair with a porn star. Okay, but it was a consensual affair, right? Yeah, but that means he shouldn't be president. He should be impeached for it. Oh, so then should Bill Clinton have been impeached for all the women that have accused him of sexual harassment, rape even, and all the things that we do know that he did with consensual people? You know, like Monica Lewinsky? No. Why? That's worse than what Trump did. Bill was governor or president when he did all that stuff he's accused of. And we know some of it was actually proven because, we've got evidence. Trump is only accused of having an affair with a porn star who wanted to have an affair with him before he even thought about running for president, a decade before he ran. And you think that he should be impeached because of something he did 10 years earlier? By the way, get into this a little bit later. New York Times, speaking of doing things earlier, see, they don't do this to people on the left. But the New York Times evidently has been caught trying to dig up dirt on Brett Kavanaugh. Not him, but his wife. You can't make this shit up, honestly, folks. But in any case, the second quarter GDP is up 4.1% as expected amid hopes for breakout growth. 4.1% is breakout growth, especially when we had about 8 years of annualized, less than 2% growth. Yes, we'll give it to Obama. There were pockets here and there where the American people just had, they tried to break free and tried to break out, but Obama's policies quashed them the very next quarter. You got one quarter, 4.6% GDP growth. And look at that. But there was no job growth. There was no real job growth. And then they came up with other policies and other regulations on companies that slammed the door and continued. I'm telling you, folks, Obama and his minions kept this country down on purpose. There can be no doubt. If you go back and I've started to try to match this stuff up, every time Obama had a decent quarter or a potential breakout quarter to bring the economy back, like that 4.6% quarter, they hammered the economy and the American people and business with new rules and regulations. And that stymied the job growth, which stymied consumer activity, which scared small businesses. And the growth stopped, which is why you went from one quarter to be 4.6% to the next quarter being 0.5. That's never happened in the history of this country since they started keeping track of this kind of stuff. Never. Even the Great Depression, by standards, they were looking at a decline, yes, but it didn't fall off like that. And you didn't have one great quarter that looked like things were going to be da 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 da, and then all of a sudden, it's never happened before. So don't tell me that Trump is bad for this country. Obama himself, by his own actions, and it is historical fact now, Obama definitely hated this country and brought us to our knees. Yes, the American people were on their knees, and in 2016, we almost had our head chopped off because they almost gave us a third term of Barack with Hillary Clinton. But the American people are stronger than they thought. And we struggled to our feet and elected Donald Trump. And this is what you people on the left don't like. You don't like the 4.1%. You don't like the 3.9%. You don't like the 4%. You don't like the 3.8% unemployment. You don't like the 3 million in new jobs since he took office. You don't like the fact that the labor participation rate is now at 63% and on the rise, not falling. You don't like the fact that there are at least 8 million fewer people who need food stamps. You don't like the fact that there are 3 million less people getting some sort of government welfare benefit check every month because they don't need it. You don't like the fact that that people are actually getting real blue-collar and white-collar middle-class good-paying jobs, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. You don't like that? You don't like the fact that black unemployment and Latino unemployment is the lowest in history? You don't like the fact that black teen unemployment in the inner city has been cut in half under Trump? You don't like the fact that the American jobs and the income is up by over 2%? You don't like any of that? You leftists don't like any of that? You want to go back to the days of when you had labor participation rate less than 60%, where you had unemployment, real unemployment, over 8%. You want to have people, nearly 50 million people getting food stamps. That's what you want? You want college students graduating with a mountain of debt with no hope of getting a good-paying job so they have to go to the mall and take the jobs from the teenagers so they can just pay, have some food on the table. You want those college graduates to live back in their mom and dad's basement? That's what you want? You want to go back to those days? This is why you hate Trump? You want businesses in this country to be so heavily obligated to follow government rules and regulations, there's no way in hell that they can compete on the world court. That's what you want? The American people said, hell no. That's why they voted Trump.
And I approve this message.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh no, not the garage.
Later that same day.
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?
Then the following Tuesday...
Howard, where's the car?
It's in the garage.
Does your garage look like a giant yard sale without the yard? Do you cringe at the thought of entering your garage? Then you need Crest Garage Cabinets. With one phone call, those wonderful folks at Crest will come out to your home, design the best combination of cabinets for you, and install them quickly and professionally before your very eyes.
It's a miracle.
And unlike other companies who ask for a down payment or money up front... You won't pay a penny until your Crest cabinets are installed to your satisfaction. So call Crest today, toll-free at 1-800-548-2848. That's 1-800-548-2848. And you'll never fear going into your garage again.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill. A breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters, This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with